pray. Father, we weren't there. No one here has likely seen anything like that. But you chose to reveal yourself to lonely, dirty, nasty shepherds in the middle of the night. And you made known to them the birth of your Son, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the God-man. Would you show us exactly why you wanted us to read this? We pray that you would do so and you would be pleased to bless us with your Spirit so that we would perhaps even this Christmas spend it much different than we have in the past. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I have to tell you real quickly, this is something that I never get used to, and that is on Christmas Eve, nobody's up here. And it feels weird. Just so you know, I do know that you're looking at an empty space behind me, and that's distracting perhaps to you, but it is even more so to me. You know, every culture has its so-called untouchables. Every culture around the world has some group, some either a social group or a racial group or a national group, whatever it is, every single culture has that group that they consider to be lesser than them. Now, I'm not saying all of you do. I'm saying every culture does. India, it is those who are at the bottom rung of the caste system. Those individuals who have no hope of climbing up past the status of their parents and their grandparents, it's next to impossible for them to move past that area of social acceptability. They are looked down upon. They smell. They do not have the freedom of access to things like the medical system that others in that society do. They have very little ability to do anything other than the most menial of tasks. And insult upon insult, it is even those tasks that make them even more untouchable. I had a friend who went to India many years ago on a missions trip. And he said, when he came back, he said, everywhere I went in this community of people, I could not get past the smell of human waste. That it just attached itself to people. He said it was in my clothing. It was in my hair. Everything around me smelled like that. He said it was absolutely horrid. That's what the shepherds were in Jesus' day. The shepherds were those individuals who were filthy. They were not very couth. They were the ones that everyone passed on the other side of the road when they passed them on the street. They were the individuals that no one ever wanted to touch. And that's where we find ourselves in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. Hear the word of the Lord. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Thus ends the reading of God's holy and inerrant word. Why the shepherds? Why would God make this supreme birth announcement to the likes of them? I mean, listen to the angels' words. I mean, they say, "Unto you." Unto you is born. Think about who these shepherds were. The angels didn't go and appear to Herod in the palace, even with a word of conviction. They didn't bother with him. They didn't go and announce this to the Pharisees or to the religious leaders of their day. They didn't go and do all of these things to anyone else. It was the shepherds. They couldn't even carry a note in a bucket. These guys didn't appreciate good music. They were not sophisticated. Have you thought about that? Why the shepherds? They didn't have any influence. They didn't have the ability to reach out to a vast majority of people spreading the news. No one would listen to them. Do you know that shepherds weren't even considered trustworthy to testify in trials? Their word was worthless. Amazing. And God picked them, of all people. He picked them to go and make his announcement of the Prince of Peace, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega. He announced it to shepherds. Amazing. Now, often you will hear messages like this, and you will hear people drawing out the truths about historically about shepherds and how they were the outcast. And a good place to end here would say be to say, "Now you go and take care of the outcasts. You go. God came to the outcasts. You go to the outcasts." Folks, that's not the message of this passage. It's a nice thing. It's not bad. It's not unbiblical. But that's not the message of this passage. There was an article, it was a letter that was written to a Christian magazine years ago, about 30 years ago now. And this is what it says. We were the only family with children in the restaurant. I set Eric, our youngest, in a high chair and noticed everyone was quietly eating and talking. Suddenly, Eric squealed with glee and said, "Hi there." He pounded his fat baby hands on the high chair tray. His eyes were wide with excitement and his mouth was bared in a toothless grin. My baby was wiggling and giggling with great merriment. I looked around and saw the source of his merriment. It was a man with a tattered rag of a coat, dirty, greasy, and worn. His pants were baggy with a zipper at half mast, and his toes poked out of his would-be shoes. His shirt was dirty, and his hair was uncombed and unwashed. His whiskers were too short to be called a beard, and his nose was so covered with varicose veins that it looked like a road map. We were too far away to smell him, but I was sure he smelled. His hands waved and flapped on loose wrists. "Hi there, baby. Hi there, big boy. I see you, Buster," the man said to my baby. My husband and I exchanged looks. What do we do? My child continued to laugh and answer, "Hi, hi there." Everyone in the restaurant noticed and looked at us and then at the man. The old geezer was creating a nuisance with my beautiful baby. Our meal came and the man began shouting across the room, "Do you know patty cake? Do you know peekaboo?" Then to everyone else in the diner, "Hey, look, he knows peekaboo." Nobody thought the old man was cute. He was obviously drunk. My husband and I were embarrassed. We ate in silence, all except for Eric, who was running through his repertoire of entertainment for the admiring Skid Row bum, who in turn reciprocated with his cute comments. We finally got through the meal and headed for the door. My husband went to pay the check and told me to meet him in the parking lot. The old man sat poised between me and the door. I silently prayed, "Lord, just let me out of here before he speaks to me or Eric." As I drew closer to the man, I turned my back, trying to sidestep him and avoid any air he might be breathing. As I did, Eric leaned over my arm, reaching with both arms in a baby's pick-me-up position. Before I could stop him, Eric had propelled himself from my arms to the man's. Suddenly, a very old and smelly man and a very young baby were embraced in a gigantic cheek-to-cheek hug. Eric, in an act of total trust, love and submission, laid his tiny head upon the man's ragged shoulder. The man's eyes closed, and I saw tears hover beneath his lashes. His aged hands, full of grime, pain, and hard labor, gently, so gently, so very gently, cradled my baby's bottom and stroked his back. No two human beings have ever loved so deeply for so short a time. I stood awestruck. The old man rocked and cradled Eric in his arms for a moment, and then his eyes opened and set squarely on mine. He said in a firm, commanding voice, "You take care of this baby." Somehow I managed, "I will." From a throat that contained a stone, he pried Eric from his chest, unwillingly, longingly, as though he were in pain. I received my baby, and the man said, "Thank you. Thank you for letting your baby love me." I said nothing more than a muttered thanks. With Eric in my arms, I hurried for the car. My husband came to the car with a perplexed look on his face, asked, "Why on earth are you crying?" I looked up, and all I could manage to choke out of my knot-filled throat was, "Because I'm the bum, and Jesus was the baby." Folks, that's the message of this story. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. But you gotta know you're a bum. You can't become a prince or a princess, a son of the living king, until you're willing to say, "I am the bum. I'm the one who stinks. I'm the one who is in darkness. I'm the one who is nasty." It does not matter how you look. It doesn't matter if you wear the most expensive suit that you can possibly buy. It doesn't matter if your shoes come from the finest shoe store in New York City. It doesn't matter if you wear overalls. It doesn't matter if you don't have any money. It doesn't matter if you have a lot of money. It doesn't matter. You're a bum. And God so loved you that he sent his only Son as a baby in a manger. Do you see? That's exactly why he went to the shepherds. That is precisely why he waited until it was pitch black dark. That is exactly why he went to the toothless beggars, to the untouchables, to the filthy, to the wretched, to the social outcast. Because that's what we are. And his announcement comes to us. He says, "I sent my Son. I sent him to live his life in obedience to me, to grow into a man with no sin, so that you who have an abundance of sin that propels you into eternal hell might believe in him and might have eternal life." That's us. I'm the bum. He wears a robe. Big deal. He's a sinner. He's a sinner desperately in need of God's grace. And God's message to me is, "I love you, and I'm going to let you love my Son." Do you see that? If you don't see that, you can't become the prince or the princess. You can't become the one who is a child of God until you do. The greatest gift, most definitely the greatest gift of all, God sent his Son, his only Son, that we might believe in him and have everlasting life. Doesn't matter what you've done. You can't top these bums. It doesn't matter. Come to him. Worship him. Believe on him. And receive his gift, which is everlasting life, and the adoption and the robes of righteousness that only belong to that baby. Let's pray. Father, thank you so, so much for your eternal and marvelous love that so loved us that you would give to us that wonderful gift. Father, it would be ridiculous to think that there aren't some here tonight who have it in their mind and their heart that they are unacceptable, that they've gone too far. Would you place upon them the conviction that you gave to those shepherds, and that is, unto you is born tonight this child. Go and worship him. And may we receive as those who deserve nothing. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We come now to the table of the Lord, the table that has been prepared for us by that baby become a man, that baby become a Savior, the one who would give his body to be broken for us, the one who would give his blood to be spilled out for us, Christians. This table is for Christians. It's for those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's for those who belong to a gospel-preaching church. A gospel-preaching church is this. They preach the Word of God. That you're under that Word. If that describes you, and you have been admitted to the table, this table is for you. If that's not you, then withhold the elements from yourself as they come by. If you're not a believer, don't eat and drink, for the Bible tells us that those who do so eat and drink judgment unto themselves. Don't do that. But if you're a Christian and you recognize you're a bum, you recognize that you are so unworthy, that you believe that Jesus Christ died in your place and you have his righteousness, this table's for you. It is for sinners. And it is to be taken with joy. So let that be to you, this wonderful word. Come and eat and drink, for the Lord gave his body and his blood for you. Let us go before him as we pray together. The